Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
Praise the Lord. Well, 6 years ago, over in the other building, we had a banner hanging on the back wall of the platform that read, "What if God was as faithful to you as you are to Him?" And in fact, 6 years ago, almost to the day, I preached a message titled, "What If God?" And as those 6 years have gone by, I've often thought about that banner that we had on the back wall of the church saying, "What if God was as faithful to you as you are to Him?" Thought about some of the things that have happened during that time. And I thought it was interesting, some of the songs this morning. And I'm always amazed because I don't very seldom call Katrina up and say, "Katrina, I want you to sing such and such songs in the morning worship service." I leave that up to her and her getting together with the Lord to figure out what they've got to sing. And I just thought it was amazing. It was almost a confirmation there, I guess, that this was the message for today as the songs they sing. But during this six-year period, some things have changed. Some folks have come. Others have gone. Several that were here 6 years ago have gone on to be with the Lord. They're now sitting in the presence of the Lord. The world has changed. And I think, especially as Christians, we realize every day how much the world has changed in the last 6 years, even in the last year, things that have changed, all that's happened, all that's going on. The things that we read in the paper and events that are taking place, and some of the, lack of a better word, insanity that is taking place in the world. And as we look around, we see that everywhere that's happening. People have changed. All we've got to do is remember back what you looked like 6 years ago. We've all changed. You know, people change. Some of us put on a few pounds. Me, I've lost a few pounds. Not the recommended diet, though. But we've changed. Some of us have a lot less hair than we had 6 years ago. Some of us, our health is not what it was 6 years ago. And some of us maybe are feeling a little better than we did 6 years ago. But people have changed. We look around, and of course as adults, we see our subtle changes that takes place in us, but we look at the kids and think back 6 years ago. Some of them were a lot different. I look at Sammy. 6 years ago, he was 3 years old. Just a little guy running around here. And now he's considering retirement from his job as the miscellaneous change fund as soon as Abigail grows up enough to replace him. Things change. We change. It seems like the world is in constant flux. There is constant change taking place. And change can be a good thing. And sometimes change can be a bad thing. And I know some people like change more than other people. You know, some people get excited about things changing and some people don't change things. I like it the way it is. You know, if it's not broken, don't fix it type attitude. The change. And we look for constants sometimes. And I was reading the other day, and of course there's a big debate going on about the educational system and Common Core. And I was reading somewhere that it said, with some of the teaching and philosophy and teaching today, there is no right answer. It's how well you defend your answer. So if you can get up and convince the instructor or the professor or the teacher that 2 + 2 = 6, and you can give a convincing answer and a convincing response, then they will accept your answer of 6. Something seems wrong with that. But that's some of the change that's going. So even things that we can, and let's face it, in reality, in mathematics, there's pretty much constants. You know, those things are the way they are. But the world wants to make them change and say, oh no, we can do it this way or that way. But one thing that is for sure a constant, there is one thing that we can depend upon. One thing that we can know from day to day is not going to change. And in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, it says, "For I am the Lord, I change not, and ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." He says here, the important part of this verse that I want to get across is he says, "I am the Lord, I am God, and I change not." Then in Hebrews, Paul, in writing his letter to the Hebrews, says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." He does not change. He is a constant. God is a constant. He does not change. We can depend upon God. Can we depend upon people? I'll tell you any more, if you start to depend too much upon people, you're kind of taking a chance sometimes. Because people will fail. I don't care how good their intentions are, how good the person is, how good you are. There will be times that we will fail. But God does not fail. He is that constant that can be in our life that we can depend upon. Again, Paul writing to the Hebrews in chapter 13, verse 6, "So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." A lot of scary things going on in the world today. Paul says, "I don't have to fear what man can do to me." You see, the worst man can do to you is take your physical life. Man may come in and he may separate your head from your shoulders, but that's all he can do. He cannot take that part of you that will live for eternity. And we can depend upon God to be that constant in our life. Back in the 1960s, an evangelist I knew by the name of Bud Chambers wrote a song. It was entitled, "If Jesus Said It, I Believe It. His word cannot lie. If it's written in the Bible, I'll believe it till I die. And though the mountains be removed and cast into the sea, God's word will live forever throughout eternity." God's word is constant. What God has said, that's what will be. And I know there's a lot of people out there today that would like to twist the scriptures and make them say something different than what they say. And let's face it, you can sit down and you can take the Bible and you can cherry pick stuff and you can make it say whatever you want it to say. A preacher can get up and preach a sermon and prove almost any topic he wants to by the Bible if he cherry picks and he twists the scripture. It's not really proving it by the Bible, but he can make it appear like he is. I know there's a controversy going on right now, and I just heard about it right now, about one particular well-known pastor who's getting a lot of flack because she made the statement that when we come in for praise and worship, it's for our benefit, not for God's. And we praise and worship to make us feel good. We're supposed to praise and worship because God wants us to praise Him. He says He inhabits the praises of His people. He wants us to praise Him. He wants us to. Will we feel good when we do it? Yes, we will. But He tells us we are doing it because He has pleasure in us worshiping Him. We are not going to church to make us necessarily feel better. It's because we are going because God has commanded us to, and He said He wants our praise. He created us in the beginning to have fellowship with us. God wants our praise. He wants our worship. The Bible says, and the Apostle John wrote in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Remember, I just quoted you the words to that song, if it's written in the Bible. What do we consider the Bible? We consider the Bible God's Word. Now, what we talk about the Bible, this is the written Word of God. Jesus was the Word of God made flesh. It's what the Bible tells us here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. He goes on to say in verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus is God. The Word made flesh. The Bible tells us in John 3:16, He is the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. As Katrina said a while ago, the Jewish Bible says the unique Son of God, the only unique Son of God, who came to give His life as sacrifice for our sins on the cross of Calvary, that we could have an eternal relationship with God. God is faithful. The Bible gives us a number of examples of God's faithfulness. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9, it says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keeps His commandments to a thousand generations." And I know sometimes if you want to get nitpicky here, you can say, okay, it says to a thousand generations. You start running the numbers there and all of this stuff. But you got to go back and remember, we have mathematical terms now like trillion, zillion. I don't even know what some of them are. And some of them, they'll take a certain large number, say times this many zeros added on to the end of it or whatever, come up with these long astronomical numbers that we can't even write down hardly. But in the days that these scriptures were written, they didn't know mathematical numbers like that. They had no, to them, thousands was a tremendous, almost unbelievable amount. They didn't have terms like a million. So they're saying it's an astronomical number here. He keeps it to the generations. He is faithful. King David testified of God's faithfulness. He said in Psalms 119, verse 138, "Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful." King David, you can see as you read his story in the Bible, how God was faithful to him. How God had the prophet go and anoint him as the king over Israel when he was yet a young man. And how God was with him and protected him, even though there were those who sought to take his life. those that wanted him dead and all the things that he went through. God was faithful to David. God is faithful to his people as we read throughout the scripture. When you stand with God, God is faithful to you. Paul testifies to the Corinthians that God is faithful to those he's called in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. It says, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. He goes on to say he is faithful no matter what we go through. And let's face it, we do go through a lot of things today. Think about it, some of you more senior folks like me. Think about how the world was when you were a teenager and what it's like today. And you would never have dreamed it would get to be like what it is today. Just unbelievable. But if we're Christians, God is faithful to us no matter what we go through. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. There's temptation out there. Everyday temptation is put in front of you to do something that you shouldn't do. You have opportunities to sin on a constant basis almost. I'm saying that in the meaning that you are tested. There are those opportunities. But God is faithful to be with you and help you through those things if we will let Him help us through them. Because we get those moments put into our life where we are tempted like that. But he says, no matter what temptation is put before you, I am there with you. I will be faithful to you. In Thessalonians, or 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3, he goes on to say, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Last Sunday we talked about reprobate. And one of the dictionary definitions of the word reprobate is one simple word, evil. God is able to keep us from the evil things that goes on about us and happens around us. He is there to protect us and take care of us if we let Him. You say then, well, what happens that, you know, so-and-so was a good person and a good Christian and this terrible thing happened? I can't tell you why it happened. I know that God was faithful to them, though, and they are better off now than they were. I simply believe that with all my heart, that sometimes how God works some things out for us. And I know there are a lot of things that happen in our life. We get all confused. Torn up about, you know, and we want something, or we want something to go this way, and we pray about it and it doesn't work out. You ever have that happen? I really want this, God. I'm going to pray about it, and, you know, God's going to give it to me. And then all of a sudden one day, boom, the whole thing falls apart. What happened? Where were you, God? You can think that way. It's easy to. But if you say, okay, God, we'll move on. Because in all probability, He's got something better for you down the road. I've had things happen in my life I couldn't understand why God let them happen that way. Beats the life out of me, God. I just don't understand it. You know, I thought you wanted me to do this, and everything has been thrown in my path, and this, that, and the other. When we were preparing to move to Tennessee, we put our house on the market. We came back here several times to look for places. Thought our house was sold one time. We're here looking for a house. I get a call from my realtor. Have you bought a house yet? No. Well, don't. Your house just fell off the market. The sale fell through. Why, God, you want us, I believe you want us to move to Tennessee. I believe this. Why? Mary and I went back to California. I said, you know what? I don't understand it. But I believe God wants us to go to Tennessee. It's in His hands. I'm going to get back into the church we were attending, and we're going to work as if we were never leaving. And then when the house gets sold and God opens up the door for us to move, then we'll move. But until then, I'm here like I'm here to stay. We went in. The pastor was having some difficulties there. He was going through some hard times in the church, discouraged. Came Christmas time, we wanted to help him put on a Christmas party. He says, you'll never get that many people to come. We were preparing for it. Mary and I went ahead and worked at it, especially Mary. And all of a sudden, the people began to show up that night. The place was filled. They'd never had that many people come to one of their Christmas parties. And he said, I just didn't think it could be done. But we were there to help that pastor. And until we were finishing our job there, it was not time for us to move. That was in December. Our house sold, and I think it was either February or March. I had to fly back here and buy a house in two or three days then. But God worked things out. He will be with us. He is faithful, but He's faithful. I want to get this across to you. He's faithful in His timing. And that's where we have a problem sometimes. We want it all be in our time. You know, it's like the saying that, you know, the person, Lord, please grant me patience, and I need it right now. Well, that's the way we are a lot of times with God. We need it right now, God. We think we do anyway. But He does it in His timing. He's faithful to us in His timing. He works it out when it's His time for it to take place. He also tells us that He is faithful to forgive us our sins. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He forgives us our sins. Does that give us license to go out and sin and do whatever we please? Some people seem to think that anymore. Okay, God, I ask you for forgiveness once. Now I'm forgiven for everything I'm ever going to do. I can live however I want to live. That's not what it says. But I know that we're human and we all sometimes boo-boo. We all make mistakes sometimes. We all sometimes commit little sins. Sometimes without even thinking about it. But He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins when we ask Him for forgiveness. I mentioned David a while ago and God's faithfulness to David. And you look at David's life. David was a murderer. He was an adulterer. He had a lot of things in his life that were some of the most vile sins you could come up with. And God says He's a man after my own heart. Why? Because he believed in God's faithfulness, and when he messed up, he knew where to turn. He knew to go to God and ask for forgiveness. And God is faithful to forgive. He's faithful to keep His word. In John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, he says, don't let yourselves be disturbed. Trust in God and trust in me. In my Father's house are many places to live. And I know the King James translates it mansions. If there weren't, I would have told you, because I'm going there to prepare a place. And since I'm going and prepare a place for you, I will return to you to take you with me, so that where I am, ye may be also. He's faithful to keep his word. He's prepared a place for us, and one of these days he's coming to get us. And we're going to live in his presence forever. So the written word testifies of God's faithfulness. But are we anywhere close to being as faithful to God as God is to us? Let's look at a few examples from the Bible. There's Peter. Peter, the rock. The one who told Jesus with sword in hand, I'll be with you to the bitter end, basically. I'll defend you with my life. Soldiers come to get him. He cuts off the servant's ear. And then hours later, he's standing warming his hands around the fire, and some young lady comes up to him and says, hey, aren't you one of his followers? And the way I read it in the scripture, he let out a string of a few four-letter words and said, I don't know the man. Boy, you talk about a fall right there. And he not only did it once, but the Bible tells us he did it three times. He failed. But the important thing to recognize from that is when he realized, God, I have failed. He went to a faithful God and repented and asked forgiveness. Then, of course, we mentioned David and all the things that he did. Yet he asked God for forgiveness. That's just a couple of examples from the scripture of God's faithfulness and of us as human beings sometimes lack of faithfulness. How faithful are we? I think it's a question we should all ask ourselves on a regular basis. How faithful am I? Am I really doing what God wants me to do? Am I doing my best? And I know as time goes on and things happen that there are some things that because of circumstances that we may not be able to do. But we can still be faithful to God in the things that we are able to do. Faithfulness. God didn't call everybody to be the one out front. And we've gotten wrapped up in the last 20, 30 years in the church and the superstar mentality. And you've heard me talk about this before. I dislike it. I disagree with it. We're not out there to be superstars. The one that everybody points at and said, oh, there goes brother or sister so-and-so. You know, have you ever seen some of these people on TV? They see a celebrity and these girls scream and they holler and they pass out, you know. Oh, so-and-so walked by. I just be still my beating heart. I look at them and I say, how stupid can they be? I don't really see guys do that, but they must do something similar. I'm sure that some of them do. Ladies, I'll defend you in that area. I'm sure some guys do some stupid stuff too. And we've got the same way in the church. I remember an evangelist that heard years ago that every time they talked about him, they thought, well, man, he was Jesus' right-hand man. And I'll tell you, quite frankly, I wouldn't go to hear him. I'm not going to say who it was or any more about it, but they'd made a superstar out of him. We are all to be faithful and workers together. We're all in this boat together. And I know somebody said this morning about how come everybody's sitting on this side of the church, you know, and this other side's a little bit lopsided, you know. And if you did this in a boat, the boat would kind of tilt, you know. Well, we're all in this boat together. We're all in it to work together for Jesus Christ and for the kingdom of God. And we serve a faithful God who will be faithful to us if, that's a big if there, if we will let him. Because sometimes God can't do something for us because we won't let him. Did you realize that your will can stop God? There are things that God would do for you, and because of our will, we won't let him and he won't do it. Because he's not going to force it on us. But we serve a faithful God. And we need to think about that. Are we as faithful to him as he is to us? I don't know if it's humanly possible for us to be as faithful to him as he is to us. But I think we sure need to give it a shot. We need to try to be as faithful. Be as faithful as we can. How faithful are we? And maybe there's someone out there and listening to today's message on the internet or by another means that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And maybe you've wondered about God and about Jesus. He's faithful. He's what you've been looking for. He's what you've been searching for all your life. And I just ask today that the Holy Spirit would speak to those hearts, Father. And Father, speak to them, Father. Help them to realize that Jesus Christ is what they need in their life. And that he will make a change and make the difference in their lives. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's House. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.